And if public relations is a powerful tool, why not talk to the president-elect on PR? PRISA is Public Relations Institute of South Africa. Am I right, Malisela?
Southern Africa.
And PRISA, as Malisela Mobani joins us, PRISA has been dominantly more about the training and educating of public relations officers and people. Has that been its main function?
Its main function has been to represent the interest of public relations and communication management professionals. Venon, let me say start by saying good morning and to the listeners of Cape Talk, the overnight show. And as I continue to say, the Public Relations Institute of Southern Africa has been representing the interests of public relations and communication management professionals in the Southern Africa, which is South Africa, Botswana, Namibia. And as I said, represent their interests, making sure that as we practice public relations and communication management, we are responsible. And as you've rightly said, Benon, that public relations is a very powerful tool. So if it is in the hands of wrong people, it can be dangerous and in fact can be detrimental. So as PRISA, we are very big on ethics and professional standards.
Have you set a code of conduct for public relations people? Is there something we could reference?
Yes, Venon. When you join PRISA, you also have an undertaking to say you're going to adhere to the professional ethics, ethical conduct and professionalism. So all individual members and consultancy members, we've got what we call a public relations consultancy chapter. They, all of them, when they join, they become... they adhere to the code of ethics and the professional standards.
Yeah, it says on your website that you've called for the regulation of the public relations industry. So when you're calling for regulation, are you seeking more rules?
Not necessarily to make practice in public relations more cumbersome, more rules. But what has happened, especially with the Bell Pottinger saga, has shown that... as a public relations, perhaps self-regulation might no longer be, and it's no longer sufficient as it has been evident. So there's been a green paper which we are currently in consultation with the relevant stakeholders like the Government Communication and Information System to make sure that the green paper, perhaps going forward, we vigorously consult and make sure that there's legislation there's responsibility for action. And through our ethics committee, we're going to make sure that as PRISA, we consult vigorously to make sure that there is a responsibility in terms of practicing public relations.
That's very proactive and admirable. But in the sense of public relations, and my only understanding of public relations through the years that I've been a media professional is these are the folks who bother you with press releases. They are constantly sending you stuff to say, please interview my client, or, you know, so they're in the business of trying to get as much exposure for their clients as possible. Then I always knew, and I, at the back of my mind, thought, yes, there must be another level to it where there might be public relations people who are really good at shaping a reputation, you know, or putting a bit more branding, excuse me, to communication and the image of their client. And really, I never even thought there was an institution like a Bell Pottinger. Could we, and I'm not saying you might know of any, but could we not have similar institutions in South Africa? Are we naive enough to think that there might not be agencies or interrelated agencies that work on really shaping a brand reputation or narrative for our local brands or international brands that are home-based?
Venon, I might not say there are similar companies like Bell Pottinger, but just to say public relations, what we're doing is to manage perceptions and also relationships between organizations and their internal and external stakeholders. And as I've said, all members of PRISA, either individual or consultancies, they adhere to the ethical code and professional standards. And there are several organizations in South Africa which represent communication professionals, but we can only be able to regulate as PRISA those who are members of PRISA.
So we're just
calling that as different organizations who are representing communication professionals in South Africa, we can work together just to make sure that public relations and communication management profession is not in disrepute, to make sure that, and as you mentioned the Bell Pottinger story, just to say, as PRISA, we are a founding member of the Global Alliance for Public Relations and Communication. So through our being a founding member, and as you know, that the Public Relations Consultancy Association, which Bell Pottinger is a member of, we have made contact with them just to talk to them about this whole saga.
So you've actually tried to communicate with them, or are you placing a position or your position on the matter?
We've just spoken to them. As I've said, the Chartered Institute of Public Relations in the UK is a fellow member of the Global Alliance.
I get that, but would PRISA not, and should it not, in our best interest as South Africans, say we as PRISA are going to look into this Bell Pottinger matter? Should we not have a local investigation? If you consider that bad PR has been practiced on your doorstep, perhaps you as an organization should look into it?
Vernon, from that level that CIPR is a fellow Global Alliance member,
okay.
we're not and Bell Pottinger is not necessarily our member, a member of PRISA. We could not be investigating as such. And as I've said...
But surely for our good interest as citizens and the people that involved, I mean, the use of local Twitter accounts, the perception that you know, this type of PR was practiced here, might have been practiced by an international company, but surely you would look at its local, if I could put it this way, its local client and say, you know, this is not the kind of PR practice you should even be, you should be paying for, you know?
Yes, Vernon, in the speech case of Bell Pottinger, we could not say we will specifically investigate that. But as I've said, we are satisfied and we welcome our UK counterpart looking into their conduct. And as I've said, as PRISA, we will continue with the legislation and also making sure that our members adhere to the ethical conduct.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, if Bell Pottinger operated here, they had to use a network, right? They had to be on the ground, they had to have local contacts, maybe even employ people for the accounts and things that they did. But surely you as PRISA would want to then know, how did they operate locally? So you're saying you'll wait for the UK investigation to show what they did, how they did it. But I'm saying, in terms of your sector, your industry, surely we would want you to be the guardians of the gate, you know?
Yes, Vernon. Perhaps let me bring in the issue of the Marketing, Advertising and Communication Charter, which focus mostly on ownership in the marketing, advertising and communication in South Africa, of which PRISA is a signatory, just to make sure that in terms of responsibility in the marketing, advertising and communication, we operating professionally. And to say this is a sector charter which the Department of Trade and Industry has had a code in terms of ownership, and also working closely with the the Government Communication and Information System, which is under the Department of Communications. So it goes back to that green paper where we are vigorously communicating and consulting with the Government Communication Information System, just to make sure that as the Government Communication Information System is regulating the government communication sphere, we are able to consolidate in terms of ethical conduct and professional standards. So we're not necessarily sitting on our laurels in terms of making sure that, as you've said, rightly said, that public relations is a very powerful tool. So we're making sure that this tool is used in a correct way, so that it is not in a the wrong hands, where it is able to wreak havoc and bring instability to our country.
Of course. I mean, it is that dangerous. It could have destabilized, caused political and social instability. And apparently Bell Pottinger has for decades practiced this type of PR in countries where they were literally creating political chaos. My only question is, when you have an incident like that, a year that you're going to regulation, you want to get a green paper going, but I almost think here's a current and real case study for the industry. Surely someone in the industry is going to go, okay, let's look at this. Let's assess, how did this happen? How did the dominoes fall here? And how did this come to play for as long as it did before our industry was alerted or anyone picked up that a foreign PR company was doing very dangerous things? When did you ever come to hear of Bell Pottinger before the, if we could put it now, the official media, exposure?
Well, Vernon, we had expressed our view on this matter last year already. Just to say, as I've said, Bell Pottinger is not a member of the Public Relations Institute of Southern Africa. But as you know, in the case of countries where you've got trade relations and relations with countries, you should the diplomacy and all that. So at the moment, we are satisfied in terms of our UK counterparts looking into the matter and how Bell Pottinger has operated and their conduct. But if I go back, Vernon, just to say, the Marketing, Advertising and Communication Sector Charter is also an effort which we welcome from government, just to as our stakeholder and our partner, to make sure that the sector is operating in such a way that there's no harm to the with the view that knowing that public relations has got power, is a powerful tool, so that every person who's operating the public relations sphere is able to operate in a professional manner.
Well, when we look at public relations as a tool, let's talk a bit about the use of the practice of it. Do you think that the industry has gotten to a place where there is so much that it influences? I mean, surely it's always trying to get its clients the positive outcomes of whatever brand or product promotion or things of that nature. And that's its job. It's got to make us really like a brand, a company, a service. Oh, there's a thin line there. So in current practice, what would you say is the leaning in the sector? Is it more in the digital space? What have you seen as a trend? Where does public relations really play at this time?
Sorry, Vernon. Yes, we've seen a shift, and also, in terms, as you've said, we are in the digital age, where we're more on the digital space. Mm. But just to say, public relations has evolved like any other profession, and it's no longer about so that we do away with perceptions that public relations is just about parties and organizing functions and all that. Besides, as you've said, there's been a digital growth in terms of operating the digital space, and with the emergence of fake news and all that. But just to say, public relations, as you've said, is about the reputation, and as you know, that there's also the King Code, the King 4 report on corporate governance, which speaks to stakeholder engagement and all that integrated reporting. So we have got a much more bigger role to play in organizations,
being
the conscience of the organization. Just to say, in terms of sustainability, when you talk to the triple bottom line, what should we report at? We should be a responsible corporate citizen in terms of economic, environmental factors. So we're playing a much more bigger role, much more strategic role in organizations.
That is, you know, if you think of that relationship between PR and organization, and please do join us, folks. What do you think of PR, public relations, in the current context, in our country's context? We've seen a foreign company practice what could just be described as very bad and manipulative reputation management, destabilizing in that context, and then in the context of what Preece is trying to do, hold the sector together and give it good ethics, good professional standards. What do you think of PR? Do you play in that space? Would you use a public relations firm? 021-446-0567. Malisela, we could get into that very interesting conversation. So what is reputation? I mean, is it the reputation of the company so that it is always seen as good corporate citizen? Or is it the reputation of the company that has come from its old apartheid context to its current, you know, whatever state it's in, and now you've got, you know, you've got to give it a new reputation? Because surely in this country there's many companies, many big brands, many multinationals that operated in a time where they didn't care that the country's politics was dehumanizing. And they still currently exist. How are their reputations managed?
Reputation for me, Vernon, it talks to when you look at an organization, you know that you can trust. Reputation is about trust. And when you trust a product or an organization, you know that what they offer, the service that they offer is able to, and you become loyal to that brand, because you know the brand is genuine. The brand speaks to honesty, transparency. You're able to trust that product or organization.
But you might help us. You might, as a PR person, you might help us believe in and trust that brand way beyond what even our perception of the trust is. Because you might be giving us the reputational markers to say, no, trust the brand. This is what the brand is. Surely you're nudging us further into that trust, aren't you?
Yes, and as I've said, you know that this product is, you can trust the brand, and it's not only about just doing it for, establishing a reputation. It's not only about doing it for the camera.
Yeah.
It's about a brand that has got a soul. And you know that, and in how it conducts itself, it is not just doing it for show.
But surely it's pretty tough in a country, and I want, in our context, a country that has just been democratized, there's a baby in its democracy, but does have brands that lived in its darkest times and thrived and made money, you know, in a divided country, and now makes money in a new social democracy. That must be tough too in a brand reputation cycle or management or practice.
Yes, Fenon, I quite get you. And just to say, when you move, you're rebranding or bringing in a new reputation of a brand, just trying to rebrand. As I've said, it's not only for show, but just to say you're really genuinely moving and in how you're operating and how you conduct yourself, you really genuinely just not doing it for show, just to play with people's emotions.
Because currently, not many of the South African brands out there speak to our social context in a way that they, I would almost say, become activist brands. They will become activist brands for the protection of nature, or the preservation of animals, which is kind of, to me, a easy activism to get into. But we're not hearing many activist brands who are saying things like, you know, Inkandla was a bad thing, or, you know, we need more fight on the anti-crime front, you know, in a way that they would question government or question policy. And there, what I'm trying to say is this relationship where Abel Pottinger got into the social dynamic for a company and a family that felt that it was being attacked for its relationship to power. But we have many brands who see in our social dynamic that there are massive social political issues that they never come to activism on. Is that a dangerous thing for brands? Should they just avoid politics or social activism? Because sometimes it could be politically linked. Do you think brands are averse to that?
No, it is not necessarily a bad thing. But if I take you to the 2014 public relations landscape, which was done by the Global Alliance, it alludes to those factors to say public relations and the power that it has, and also the role that it plays in the country in terms of those social political factors, in terms of your crime and all other social factors.
Yeah.
So it was not necessarily a wrong thing to play into the activism space.
Yeah. Well, someone at the Ford agency said in their exit speech, "Stop saving the whales, save the people." And that was a speech given to them on their corporate relations PR strategy, where this executive just felt the best way to define where marketing, branding, and PR was at was that it was easy to save whales. It wasn't easy to go and say, let's save people.
Yes, Venon, as I've alluded to earlier on, to say, as public relations playing into the space of the corporate governance and the triple bottom line, we're talking to say organizations should not only report on the financial, the economic, how they've performed economically, and as I've said, the environment, but also to report on another element, the social element.
Yeah, stand for something.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to stand alongside your consumers in what they believe in, and not just the nice stuff like making meals for Mandela Day or beading or knitting, but saying, well, on the other days, we have to say, yeah, we stand with people when there's child rape or there is, you know, issues in society where when does corporate activism draw a line and join the people? And in the same context, I'm wondering, because we spoke about the trend side, wondering then, recently someone made, and the digital space is such a good space to sometimes get the spirit of the consumer. Someone said, in the insurance world, right? In the insurance world, black people are only ever told about funeral cover, and white people are reminded about investments. So why do black people only get told about funeral cover? You see the social context sometimes of that branding, that perspective. So sometimes it's how these brands see their consumers. So do the public relations firms and agencies arrest that with their clients? Are they prepared to tell their clients things that are uncomfortable, like, you know, the way you're talking to your consumer is wrong?
Vernon, as you have said, that might be playing on stereotypes. But just to say, in terms of our code of ethics and professional standards, we as PRISA, we've got where we're talking to conduct in terms of your channels of communication. So it will be playing in that space to say, in terms of as public relations professionals, we should make sure that we respect the channels of communication so that we're not party to spreading fake news, and also respecting all forms of and channels of communication. So,
but I'm just saying, you're not also just trying to sell your client's story. Sometimes you have to say to your client, there is a greater story than your story, for your story of your reputation to fit society. You don't just sell funeral cover to black people.
Yes, you're quite right. As public relations professionals, we should know that we are there also to give counsel, to give advice. So we should not be afraid to give counsel, to say this, the way we are going on about communicating our brand, maybe this is playing on stereotypes and the wrong way to go about.
Yeah, so because no one actually responded to that. You know, when that Twitter thing came out about the advertising of, I think it was Father's Day, and there was a ad with just white dads in this ad, and Black Twitter, as it's called, said, but that's how they speak to us. There was no public relations response, which is quite strange, because when companies find themselves accosted now by the consumer, surely their public relations, their communication division should spring into action, you know, like Spur, for instance. It goes through this whole thing, and one would wonder, well, what's the public relations plan then to address that?
Yes, Vernon, as I've said, our members adhere to our code of ethics and professional standards, and we can only do much in terms of regulating those that are members. Mm-hmm. But we, as I've said before, that we're calling on fellow professionals in other bodies to say, let us work together so that we collaborate and make sure that the public relations and communication management profession and industry is not painted with the same brush. Whilst there are some who are like bad potatoes, we still have got some good professionals out there, and we say, in terms of the code of ethics and the various organizations and even those who are not members of our body, in their different bodies, if we can all adhere to the code of ethics and professional standards, we can have a very different and better profession and industry.
We would want you to start from a code of ethics and professional standards. Malisela Mobani is my guest. He's from PRISA. He's the president-elect. And he's speaking on PR and PR practice. PRISA, the Public Relations Institute of Southern Africa. And on the WhatsApp line from Byron in Wellington, Malisela, he feels you pussyfooting around the issue. He's saying, being how we are not doing more, as in taking charge of this in-depth scrutiny of how the puzzle pieces fit into the biggest scheme, we're not, as your guest has said, UK counterparts. We should act more stern and take the lead as they did this horrific act in our country. So Byron in Wellington is disagreeing with you. He feels you do have a role to play to arrest the Bell-Pottinger issue from our side, from the nation side. What do you say to Byron? He feels you're pussyfooting around the issue.
Well, I understand Byron where he's coming from, but as I've said, where the body that Bell-Pottinger belongs to, the PRCA and also the CIPR, we are in Global Alliance for Public Relations and Communication. Mm-hmm. So on that score, we are, as they said, they look into the matter.
And but you're leaving it to them, basically. What Byron is saying is that you, our local institution, because you're a global affiliate, you think it's okay for just the global body to investigate this?
No, no, it's not necessarily okay. As I've said, on the South African front, looking at our code of ethics and professional standards, as I've mentioned, the green paper, we'll be moving vigorously to make sure that whoever is practicing public relations, and as I've mentioned, the marketing and advertising and communication sector charter, it is looking into say in terms of ownership and making sure that whoever is operating in South Africa is able to act in a responsible and professional manner.
We would want everyone to act in a professional, responsible manner, but we've had such a severe incident. I get Byron's feeling about it. Like, you know, there should be more of a response from our side. But Malisela, it's good. You're working towards entrenching those professional standards and ethics. We understand that. And in the context of PR, we also want to know that maybe once you've got those green papers and everything else, what action do you take? You know, what action can you take against someone who commits these bad practices?
As I've said, Venon, that we've got a code of ethics and professional standards, and we've also got an ethics committee in place. So the ethics committee is able to take, and as I've mentioned, Venon, that when you sign up as a PRISA member, you also sign up to be governed by this code of ethics. So the ethics committee, which is in place, will take you to task. It talks to the ethics, the code of ethics will tell you that as an individual member or as a public relations consultancy member, these are the standards that you should adhere to. As I've said, your conduct and the behavior in terms of the channels of communication, the business environment towards your colleagues, towards your clients.
And the punishment?
You sign up to that.
The types of punishments? What can happen? You could lose your PRISA license, or would you be exposed to the public or to the sector as a member that has transgressed?
Yes, the code of ethics, as I've said, if you transgress any of those, we can suspend your membership, which will be processed by the ethics committee.
So membership can be suspended, but surely we as the public should know someone's transgressed. So would there be a public notice or a sectoral notice that you put out?
It can go up to that.
Okay, that's a good thing to know, because you want to know when someone has been that unprofessional. Malisela Mabane, thank you.
And Venon, as I conclude, we want to move to a level where, as Venon, if you are engaging a public relations firm, you should know that if that firm company belongs to a professional organization like PRISA, you are insured of professional conduct, ethical conduct, and you're insured of quality service. We want to move to that space.
Yeah, there needs to be public education, certainly client education, so we know what we could do if our public relations supplier acts out of code. So I think that's important. It's good also for you, the companies out there, because surely your marketing person, whoever uses a public relations company, would know some of these things. But for us, the general public, also important that you know it. So you can go to PRISA. It is www.prisa.co.za. You'll see there's quite a few things on the website. Membership, PR Consultants Chapter. I think something called the CPD Programs. Click on that.
Professional Development.
Yes, the Professional Development. And of course, accreditation. But Malisela Mabane, thank you so much, President-elect on PR at PRISA. Thank you for your time and your honesty in this engagement. Bal Pottinger aside, you know, we've never heard of any of this kind of misconduct from your sector. So I would imagine this foreign company is the most extreme incident of bad PR that you've recently seen or we've recently experienced, right?
Yes, Vernon, and thanks for this opportunity, Vernon. And just to say, as Preta, we'll be taking it upon ourselves to make sure that we do more in public education in terms of what we do. And as I've said, to make sure that we move to a level where clients are able to say when they pick an organization or company which belongs to Preta, they know they can trust, and also move to a space where if a company is not part of a professional body, they are not able to use their service, so that they are ensured of professional and quality service.
No, we appreciate that. Thank you for being with us. That's Malesela Mabone. He is the president-elect on Preta. The PR thing, I get it now. I get where Preta wants to be in professional conduct. But I still think from a South African perspective, the Bell Pottinger case is just so extreme. It needs some local, professional investigation.